Coochie there for you. Remember him? That bad Leroy Brown? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Ed Davis. Big Ed, thanks for joining us on this, I guess you would say, the day after? The day after all the big primaries all over the country? Did you watch any of it on television? Did you stay up late enough to find out who won California? Do you care? We're going to talk about all of that. In fact, we'll also be talking in a couple of minutes with William Evers. He is of the Independence Institute. We're going to talk about, you know, speaking about Bernie Sanders and what he's doing, we're going to talk about the dangers of socialism and the best books to read on the subject, the best books ever. So I think you're going to find it very interesting. Please stay tuned. And now it's a horse race between Biden, Joe Biden, the moderate, and Bernie Sanders, the socialist. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the Barber Poll to get his thoughts on which one of those guys is going to ultimately face Donald Trump for the White House in November. Or is it going to be somebody else? Is Hillary Clinton waiting in the closet? Is she going to go to the convention in Milwaukee and say, here I am, take me, take me? What do you think? We're going to talk about all of that. And the death rate from that coronavirus is rising. A little scary. Is there a solution for it? We're going to discuss all of that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one as usual. The top 10 best housing markets in the coming decade. Where are the best housing markets? Where are you going to get your best bang for the buck when you buy a house? By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay for you guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin. It's on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580. Go over there, and you'll get the best haircut you can get in the entire area. You know why? Because Andrew's got 50 years of experience doing haircutting, and his staff are great, and they are nice, and you get to learn a lot about politics. And hey, you can shake Donald Trump's hand. He is standing there. Well, it's a life-size poster. It's it's the next best thing. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Okay, well, so Ed, what time did you go to bed last night? You were watching some of that stuff with, and by the way, why don't we congratulate Michael Bloomberg on his capture of all the delegates in Samoa?
Yeah, both of them.
You know what? I have the number of delegates up until a little bit earlier this morning.
I think it was like 3, isn't it, or something like that?
He's actually got 18.
Oh.
He's got 18 delegates. Now, that comes to about $320 million a delegate that he has spent so far.
Well, he's got a total of 44, it says right now.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I stand corrected. Thank you. Where are you looking? Oh, you're looking on television.
Yeah, and
hey, you're cheating.
Warren's got 50.
Oh, really? Tell me what they are.
Okay, Sanders has got 382.
Oh, he's got 382 now. Okay.
And Biden has got 453. So that's stayed the same. It's 71 difference.
How many did our delicious, delightful, beautiful Elizabeth Warren have?
50.
And Bloomberg?
44.
Okay. How about Tulsi? She had one.
Who?
Tulsi Gabbard. What do you mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, who's Gabbard?
Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard.
Who's
She's
that?
Still in.
Who is that?
You're kidding.
No, I don't know who that is.
Well, that goes to show you how unimpressive she has been. She is a presidential candidate in the Democratic Party from Hawaii. Tulsi Gabbard.
Okay.
Tulsi Gabbard is, she dislikes Hillary Clinton intensely.
Oh.
And Hillary has all but accused her of being a Russian spy. She served in the military. You're kidding, Ed. You didn't know.
I don't know.
How can you listen to my wonderful show and not know about Tulsi?
I've heard the name Gabbard, and that's why I kept asking who's Gabbard. I remember hearing the name.
Yeah. But anyway, let's not forget her.
But I didn't.
Apparently everybody else has, but.
It said less than one. somebody accidentally wrote her name down and scratched it off.
Probably so.
But I stayed up till 12 last night.
Oh, you did?
And
pretty impressive.
And I couldn't take it anymore. I you know, I was going back and forth. You got Bloomberg up there acting like he just won. I don't know. I don't know what he thinks he won. And Bernie Sanders just going crazy up there. It was come on. Call me when it's over. Wake me up when it's over.
Right. Well, you gotta put on a positive face when you're third or fourth. Now, I'm wondering about Elizabeth Warren. I would tell you that by the end of the week she's gonna drop. I mean, she can't win her own state. Massachusetts, it was because of her that Bernie Sanders did not win Massachusetts and Joe Biden did. You know why? Because she split the vote with the socialist or far left vote with Bernie. And so what does that do? That allowed Joe Biden to win Massachusetts.
Have they said what the turnout is?
I have not read that. I got a little article on it, though. It says here, get ready for a long and grueling road ahead as Biden and Sanders battle for the presidential nomination in a race that possibly could be the first contested nominating convention in well over 50 years. That's been over 50 years since you went to the convention and they figured out who your candidate right. would be. The former vice president surging to victory in the five Southern Super Tuesday states.
Uh-oh.
Crowed to supporters at a primary celebration speech in L.A.
Breaking news. Another one bites the dust.
Oh,
Bloomberg is out.
Yeah. Mike Bloomberg suspends his campaign. Wow. Well, it didn't work, did it, Mike? All that money, and you didn't want to show up anywhere except on a commercial, and you were hoping that somehow that would be the case. You know, sometimes people are really full of themselves. They think that they're well-liked, and I don't think Bloomberg had that.
No.
It's like Elizabeth Warren. I think somebody should tell her, I'm sorry, Elizabeth, you know what? Nobody cares for you. You got a bad personality, and that hurts you. It hurts you when you try to run, and you're kind of, you know, plus, you know, making all of those things up about yourself as if people are going to forget that.
I think she's holding out for the very last moment because she wants to show this. She's running for the future. You got to realize that.
God
help
us.
How old is she, by the way? She's 70, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. No, she's close to 80.
Oh, is she?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's, I'm guessing, about 77.
Well, maybe this will be the last we have to hear of her, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Bloomberg should be done.
Why doesn't Bernie and Elizabeth get married?
Oh,
and then retire to a rest home in Massachusetts or Vermont. Okay, anyway, you know what? We're going to change the subject a little bit, but not a lot. We're going to talk about socialism's good or badness, and also some books you can read about it with a guy by the name of William Evers of the Independence Institute. We'll take our break, and then we'll talk with Bill.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on the day after the big primary all over the place. California, Texas, Massachusetts, Oklahoma. Oh, boy, all over the place. And Bernie Sanders, with his socialist philosophy, very much in the race. And we're delighted to have William Evers, senior fellow with the Independence Institute, join us to talk about the dangers of socialism. William, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
Very much interested in talking with you. One of the reasons is a lot of people talk about socialism and much has been written on it, but you actually have compiled a bunch of books that you recommend that people read. And of course, your whole thesis, and I agree with it, is that socialism is a virus, a disease, it's very evil, and we got to worry about it. So, first of all, you know, at one point we thought socialism was kind of dying, but I guess that is not the case anymore, right?
Well, the countries that adopted socialism, the ruling parties of the communist countries, fell toward the end of the 1980s, and yes, it did look like worldwide the kind of agenda had shifted to the right in a more conservative or libertarian direction, but generation passed and young people are taught in K-12 system and in college favorable things about socialism. They don't see living countries, existing countries, except for North Korea and Cuba, that are really socialist. And so they believe the tale they're told. And it's, you know, they're told that this can be democratic socialism. But, of course, each of these countries, including the Soviet Union, were promised to be democratic as well. So the democratic socialism thing doesn't work out. It ends up being tyranny and despotism.
Right. What do you think explains why educators, and it's not just in the United States, but all over the world, typically tend to be so liberal and in many cases socialistic? Why are people with an educational inclination, why do they tend to bend towards this kind of thinking, do you think?
Well, I think it's partly envy. They look at people who are businessmen, who are professionals, and who are successful in life, and they think, oh, I'm so much smarter than that. you know.
Is it envy because of
furniture, they're teaching classes, and so they think, if people like me, you know, so fellow teacher type people, of which I am this kind of person too, if only we were in charge, we would run the whole society better. So it's partly envy and it's partly arrogance.
Ego.
They think that they should and could be running things.
So, I mean, when I was in college many years ago, I remember a guy teaching us history who was so left-wing. And that was when I really, while I was in college, I got a taste of the idea that, boy, these educators sure go to the other side. I tended to be, with my family, it tended to be somewhat conservative.
Right.
And but then it seeped into the secondary schools, you know, high school, grade school, maybe. And most all of them seem to be that way. And so you're saying it's kind of an ego thing and an envy thing? Is that
right?
What you're saying? Okay.
Yes, it is. I think it is. But you're absolutely right. If you look at the California's, for example, California's history curriculum framework for the public schools, The material could be this, you know, those people who jump up and down with paper mache demonstrations whenever there are international meetings about economic policy. It's right out of the sloganeering of the demonstrations. It's the official curriculum in for history in California.
So it's
a serious problem.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
But I'd like to share with your readers some of the major problems with socialism that they should take into conversations with people, and that they can, if they locate this bibliography, if they Googled Evers, E-V-E-R-S, socialism bibliography, they should be able to find it, or if they go on the Independent Institute's website, www.independent.org, they can find it readily. You kind of think about it from two points of view, economic endeavors and morality, and you also want to get clear in your mind that these Nordic countries, these Scandinavian countries, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, are not socialist countries. So those countries are capitalist countries. They have, they don't have price controls on products. They have free trade generally. They often have vouchers or sometimes called opportunity scholarships in public schools, and, you know, back and forth between public and non-public schools. They don't have minimum wage laws. They don't have occupational licensing, particularly, at least less than many other countries. So, and their taxes are in other areas other than income tax. Things like property taxes, gift taxes, inheritance taxes are low or non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not socialistic countries. They have a higher income tax than I would like, but they're not that. Now, as far as economic endeavors go, you can't, if you have this kind of overwhelming government presence, you don't get the feedback that regular business gets when it tries to put in a new product, when it experiments, when it raises or lowers prices, and because of conditions, business conditions, different changes in supply, whatever. A nationalized economy, an economy without free prices, that whole feedback loop is gone. And so you'll just have a stagnant economy.
Right. Right.
And then there's the moral problem, which is worse. Okay, so you're talking about a coercive society. You're talking about a society, because of this central planning, because of top-down dictation, you're going to have a secret police, you're going to have some kind of cadre-type party, a communist-type party. You'll end up with no or little freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of the internet. The rulers are not going to want to have the people in the society disrupting the top-down directives that they have.
Right.
And those rulers are a ruling elite. They're, you know, in Russia they were called the nomenklatura. They fasten on to this power, and they hand out industry monopolies and so forth to their favorites, to their loyalists, and it's an ugly society. Your life is not your own.
Yeah, people would argue that, Bernie Sanders' type of socialism isn't communism, and we're not going to have starvation, and we're not going to have the government standing over us with a stick or something. But the problem is that once you get into that area, the slippery slope, and you just continue to, I mean, you know, right now Sanders
is... There's no example of a thoroughly, centrally planned economy that also has democratic constitutional liberties. None, mm-hmm. historically. They always follow down what you just called the slippery slope. And they always promise... No, then the whole name of the Soviet Union was that it was going to be controlled by these Soviets. The Soviets are little local councils. Well, no, it was controlled from the Kremlin, okay, and enforced by the KGB. So, you know, yes, they all promise a democratic utopia of some sort, but it can't be done, because when you meddle so extensively in economic efforts and economic endeavors, you're gonna end up with a police state.
Right. We're talking with William Evers. He is a senior fellow with the Independence Institute. We're talking about the dangers and the evil of socialism. Bill, you've got a couple of books. You say, if there are any two books that you should read, I'd like you to mention what they are. The two best, in your opinion, for people to go to, the two best books on socialism.
Right. One is called Red Plenty, and it's a novel, and it's based in the Khrushchev years. So the Khrushchev years are sort of the 50s and the early 1960s. And so Nikita Khrushchev was the ruler of Russia, and he, you know, he was a kind of roly-poly peasant type guy, and they were making some brief economic progress. They were trying to bring in more crop areas, more farming areas. They were recovered from World War II, which was very devastating to Russia, and they dreamed of a radiant future. They dreamed of a abundance. They dreamed of, you know, Khrushchev said to America and the West, "We will bury you." And he wasn't so much talking, I mean, not opposed to military things, but he was talking also about, he thought, abundance and so much in the way of goods and services for the people that it would just outshine capitalism. So this is based on how that society really worked, and it shows how the fixers and the runaround the system and the corrupt people actually made it work.
Right.
And how, in reality, despite this rosy view of the future that the Khrushchev and the other communist leaders were saying, the whole thing was rotten. And so, but this brings it to life in a completely understandable way, and it's well written. So that's one of the books. The other book is a great classic by Ludwig von Mises. So von Mises was from Austria in Europe, and he left Europe because of the rise of the National Socialists who came to Austria from Germany. And so he left. He went first to Switzerland and then to the United States, and he began writing this early on in his academic career, the issue of socialism, and he goes into it in great detail. Henry Hazlitt, who was for many years columnist for Newsweek, and before that was the book review editor of the New York Times, he said this is the most devastating critique of socialism ever penned. And one thing it goes into is sort of the idea, this is a bit of an abstract idea, that imagine if the whole world were communist and there were no money and there was no markets anymore, but some central planner was trying to decide what to do. And what Mises says is he can't figure out whether to make a new investment, whether to retire a factory, whether to try a new product, because he doesn't have that feedback loop that we were talking
right.
about earlier.
Very
so,
interesting.
And he goes into much, much more about socialism, but the key and most famous insight of Mises has to do with that.
I tell you, it's been a real pleasure, Bill, talking with you about this whole thing. I mean, we really have to stay on our guard. And
yes.
The more there are people like you around to talk about the evils of socialism, the better off we all will be. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. William Evers, the Independence Institute. We're going to take our break. Hey, Bernie, We don't have Bernie. Bloomberg. Bloomberg. We don't have Bloomberg to kick around anymore. We're going to talk about all of that with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
Only the lonely.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Viking Encampment, Pit of Misery, Escape Room, all at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Weekend, February 15th through March 29th. Discount tickets are available at Circle K and online at BayAreaRenFest.com. Experience the Viking Invasion. Test your aim in the Florida State Longboat Championships. Enter your face in the Barbarian Beard Competition. Take part in the Viking Costume Contest. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Discount tickets available at Circle K and at BayAreaRenFest.com. Joust, do it!
Let's go bowling!
Let's go bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's go bowling show, gobowlingshow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. And it's post-election day, or post-primary day, or whatever you want to call it, because it was the biggest day of all when it comes to primaries. And Mike Bloomberg, we're all distraught with grief. He has dropped out. I thought that Elizabeth Warren, who could not even win her own state of Massachusetts, would drop out before Mike Bloomberg. So we're going to bring in the only guy I care to talk to when it comes to the prognostications of what is going to happen, the proprietor of Mainstream America's greatest poll, the Barber Poll. Andrew, did you watch any of this last night?
Oh, of course I did, Paul. It was wonderful.
It was, huh?
It was wonderful. You know, I see two things happening, Paul. Here's my predictions, because you know the fix is in to get rid of Bernie. When Biden is jumping ahead the way he is, you know something's behind it. But now, the way I see it, now, you know these millennials, they're the most spiteful, vengeful little creatures we have in this country today.
Oh, you like them.
Okay, and you know, Bernie, he's the one that had the momentum, isn't he? He attracted 13,000 people in Boston.
He has people show up. Yeah, he has people show up.
Nobody else has done that, okay? Now, we see what's going on here. Bernie is going to get screwed again. The fix is in. Mm-hmm. Now, Bernie's going to have two choices. You know, Bernie's an independent, right?
That's what he calls himself.
He's got all these followers, and they're going to be really, really upset this time when the Democrat Party screws them over.
Mm-hmm.
And what are these vengeful little tigers going to do, Paul? Let me tell you what, Bernie's going to have to either run as an independent to keep his followers happy, or the DNC pays him off like they did the last time. He goes and buys another house and a sports car and goes in the back. Okay?
So is that what happened? Right? Is that how he got all his mansions? He got paid off?
And then the millennials, what can we do? These Democrats, man, we're tired of them. They screwed our campaign. They screwed him over. What are we going to do? You know what they're going to do, Paul?
What?
One of two things. They're either not going to show up or they're going to vote for Trump just despite the Democrat Party.
I think there is some truth in what you're saying, by the way.
We're not done. This one's going to get better now, Paul.
Okay.
Now you got Biden, who they've been putting in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Biden's going to be their man, and I'm going to tell you why. Now, did you see him last night at his victory speech? He had his wife on one side, his sister on the other.
Did they wake him up to talk?
No. He introduced his sister as his wife.
Oh, no kidding. Is there incest going on now in the Biden family?
All right.
Now, that would make an interesting White House situation.
This is what's going to happen. What? The Democrat fix is in. They think the only shot they got to beat Trump was with Bernie, but they're going to get him the vice president they think is going to pull in everybody. Now, you know, Hillary is under investigation, so we don't know. But we got Michelle Obama. They think they could draw a crowd, right?
Right.
Now, if Biden gets in there and wins the election, a month later, here comes the 25th Amendment. The guy is kukula free. He can't do the job. Here's your vice president as the new president.
Let me write all of this down. Okay, now, what are you talking about? So you think that Biden wins and then he puts Bernie in as his vice president? Is that
not Bernie. Bernie's going to have a choice. Once he gets screwed over, he's either got to run as an independent to keep his followers all happy.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay, but what is Biden's going to step down?
Now, Biden, Biden, he gets the nomination. Screw Bernie. He's out of the picture. Biden's got the nomination now, right?
Yeah.
And they put in a super VP, like, who they think is really going to attract the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like maybe Michelle Obama. You don't know.
Okay.
Could be anybody. Mm-hmm. Michelle Obama, even Hillary. Who knows? Okay. Yeah. But they already know that that Biden has got the signs of Alzheimer, man. It's all over the place.
Yes.
So he gets in, he wins the election and beats Trump, right?
Yes.
Now, a month later, they bring in the 25th Amendment like they tried to do with Trump.
Oh, I see. And then they sweep him out of office and put him in a nursing home.
Exactly.
Oh,
but, I mean, nobody's going to beat Trump, but these are the only two scenarios I can see.
So, in other words, you know, maybe a year and a half into his presidency, Biden is going to be mumbling incoherently. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it's going to take a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
It's going to take a month and a half.
A month and a half.
I was saying a week and a half.
Well, you know what? A week and a half. Okay. Now, you know, in all seriousness, Woodrow Wilson, who was our president around World War I, suffered a stroke while president, and his wife basically ran the White House.
Yeah. What happened to the vice president in those days?
I don't remember what happened to that guy, but his wife took control of things and carried on. And
That wouldn't work today. Today, it'd have to be the vice president.
Yeah, I think they could be more secretive back then.
You think about it. What are their alternatives, Paul?
Yeah. Well, are you berserk with grief about Michael Bloomberg? He got
tell you what I'm grieving about.
What?
As a little idiot, only spent $500 million. He should have put another $500 million in before he backed out. This way he could have boosted Trump's economy with this coronavirus, you know?
Well,
this is slow. I'm even slow, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, I got the plumbers come in here today.
Yeah.
You know those misters they put around the swimming pools?
Mm. Yeah.
Let me see those little misters. I'm going to put those in my barbershop and have them spraying Lysol all day.
Oh, wow. I think it's possibly a good idea. You know, speaking about the coronavirus, there is a little bit of scary news. World health officials have confirmed that the fatality rate for the coronavirus is at 3.4%, as Japan is thinking about possibly canceling the 2020 Summer Games this July. I mean, it is kind of scary, isn't it?
I think it's over-panicking, Paul.
Do you?
You know, the other thing, here's another theory I'm thinking here. You know, the Chinese, this is where this virus started, right?
Yes.
A month and a half ago, what was going on in China? In Hong Kong.
Half a million people protesting. Yes.
Half a million people protesting, right?
Yes.
Waving the American flag, singing the Star-Spangled Banner. Well, you know, if this was back in the days when we were kids, they would have pulled up the trucks and the tanks just like they did in Tiananmen Square and run them over. They wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
But in today's communication area, the cameras be there instantly, right?
Yes.
The world would hate China. The whole world would be coming down on China. How are we going to handle this problem? Well, let's talk to the Democrats. The Democrats, you know, China's got a problem with Trump because of the economy over there. He put those tariffs on, hurting their business, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, how are we going to kill two birds with one stone here? Let's talk to the Democrats. Let's get this virus going. Is there any picketing in the streets? No.
Are you talking about the Democrats in the United States?
Yes, Democrats and the Chinese.
Okay, all right, so
So
they're in cahoots together, okay.
Okay, now we got two problems solved. We're dependent on China for our supplies for our businesses, right? We're China dependent, which is ridiculous, which Trump's trying to get us out of. But China got the protesters out of the streets. Now they're hitting our economy with this. They're hitting the businesses. So they're trying to hit Trump. They're killing two birds with one stone, Paul.
I know you don't believe this. You don't believe.
Oh, Paul, no, I don't trust
you don't
anything.
Believe that, you don't believe that.
I I don't trust anything that goes on today, and I don't underestimate anything the Chinese and the Democrats do.
You think the Democrats would intentionally start a virus that could kill people just to get Trump out of office?
Oh, come on. Come on. Look at Hillary kills people to get him out of her way.
Wow.
Let's be real. Okay. That means nothing to them, Paul, and let's face it. There's no more protesting in China. Nothing. They're all hiding. That problem's taken care of. Now, bang, we hit the Americans' economy, too. We're making Trump look bad. It's two birds with one stone, buddy.
Okay. Wow. I'll say one thing. You have a very active imagination, Andrew.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Maybe I belong in Washington and this stuff wouldn't be happening. I need to be talking to Trump. But see, Trump already probably knows what's going on.
So Donald Trump is sitting back and watching all of this going on, and he sees the way Bernie is being treated. And now he sees that Michael Bloomberg is dropping out, and he sees that it's going to be between Joe Biden, apparently, Joe Biden, and Bernie Sanders. Do you think he feels more confident, less confident, the same confident? And of course,
I think Trump always knows what's happening, but he always could expect what could happen.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
He's always got one foot in the water to see what's going on.
How are we going to deal with this, the stock market? I haven't seen what it's done so far today. Is the stock market up?
It is, almost 500.
Oh, that's great news. Oh, I'm so happy.
Talking to a couple of my customers, Paul, that are financial managers, right now this is going to go up and down, up and down, up and down, like turning the water on, hot and cold, until this election and this stuff clears up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can see where they're scared, and they're putting the panic in people. Look at the bank of Clorox and Lysol. Cures the coronavirus. Kills the coronavirus. Come on.
Yeah.
That's why you can't get Lysol on the shelves.
You know, when we've had these other viruses, I don't think we ever had the concern here. You know, like Ebola and Zika.
Paul, because, we didn't have an election going on. Come on, what about when Obama was in, we had the swine flu?
And we had the swine flu, right?
But it wasn't blown out of proportion.
No,
you don't
it was
see
not.
People going nowhere. You know, this is ridiculous.
That's pretty good sound you make, by the way.
Yeah. It's the swine flu, buddy.
Okay. But this one, it does, I have to admit, there is something about this one that's getting under people's skin, and I don't mean that in
It's called the media.
Yeah.
It's called the media,
Paul. Yeah, the media's been pushing it. There's no question about that as well. So, overall, now I looked at online at, I think it was a magazine that's called The Investor, and they ran a poll, and they now say that Donald Trump's popularity has dropped a little bit. It was as high as 49%. They show it now at 41%.
Yeah.
41%. They feel that this coronavirus has actually worked against Donald Trump. What do you think?
Paul, again, I think it's all a bunch of baloney. Look at the crowds. You see the Democrats are saying, we need people that got the coronavirus to go into the Trump rallies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
it's a bunch of baloney.
Oh, that was a horrible
scare
thing.
Tactic.
That's some no-name councilman out west or something.
Denver,
like I say, Paul, they have no respect for nothing. The Democrat Party is becoming the scum of the earth, my friend.
Wow.
And people are seeing it.
I think the greatest thing last night was after all her yelling and screaming and how she's going to be the next the next female president, the first female president, Elizabeth Warren, at 8 o'clock last night, sat down in front of her TV, and when they showed Massachusetts, that's all I got?
That was it. Hey, did she change her jacket for that one? I'm curious.
By the way, has she ever worn a skirt? Now that I think about it, the last time she wore a skirt, she was about 8 years old. But
you never see her. She's either got her pink jacket on.
Yeah, she's got that.
Or her green jacket on with her black shirt. She got one shirt.
Well, she's very irritating. I think she competes with Hillary Clinton on the irritability.
Can you imagine being married to that?
No.
Oh,
no.
Screaming at you every morning, get up!
But the positive, the positive thing about this, at her age, this should be the last that we see of Elizabeth Warren. It should be the last we see
like
Bloomberg.
She'll keep coming back.
She'll keep coming back. Why? What surprises me is that she is still in the race and Bloomberg quit. I would have said for sure she was dropping out today. I that she would have some sort of, whatever the word is, respect for herself. Yes,
no, she's
got
to stay in to, she's got to stay in to pull people away from Bernie so that Biden gets it. They got to make it look authentic.
Oh, okay. So
Bloomberg, they got to make it look good.
So Bloomberg has now endorsed Joe Biden. He says, I'm a believer in using data to inform decisions. After yesterday's results, the delegate math has become virtually impossible, and a viable path to the nomination no longer exists. But I remain clear-eyed about my overriding objective victory in November. And then he went on to say that I've known Joe, meaning Biden, for a very long time. I know his decency, his honesty, and his commitment to the issues that are so important to our country. So what do you think about that?
I think that in the end, Bloomberg said he thinks just like Trump. He likes all of Trump's, you know, he just don't like Trump.
That's pretty much it. He didn't like Donald Trump's...
But he likes everything he stands for.
So he would have been maybe the best guy to be the Democratic nominee from our standpoint, because we believe in free markets and capitalism and business interests.
Well, they're going to screw up again. Mm-hmm. And I told you, Biden is nothing but a puppet. You know that. I don't have to tell you. And I think they'll do just like I said. I think you're going to see them put in somebody they think is going to be a strong VP.
So
makes sense, doesn't it?
So he really did get his wife and his sister mixed up? No kidding.
Yeah,
I got to watch that.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
That's got to be.
This is what I'm saying. It's the perfect setup, don't you think?
I do. And you know what, Andrew? It is such a pleasure to talk with you. On Friday when we talk, I'm going to see if it'll be interesting to see if Elizabeth Warren...
See, I told you, she's got to stay in to pull votes away from Bernie to make it look real.
Well, as Alice in the Looking Glass said, it's getting curiouser and curiouser.
You got it, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Andrew.
You got it, Paul. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes, the best barber in Tampa Bay, Andrew, the master barber. We're going to take our final break. We're going to talk a little bit about that coronavirus and the effects that it's having. And also... the top 10 best housing markets in the next decade.
Know why I feel blue without Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girlies. I love you, Peggy Sue.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
The largest aerospace expo in the South, Sun and Fun, returns to the skies of Lakeland March 31st through April 5th. It's not just an air show, it's everything aviation in 2020. Walk among hundreds of aircraft and be amazed at air shows with breathtaking aerobatic displays by the world's top pilots. See mighty warbirds in flight, from vintage bombers to modern fighter jets, and feel the heat of a 1,000-foot wall of fire. Plus, new for 2020, our STEM-tastic pavilion with dozens of interactive activities for all ages. Oh, and let's not forget the precision flying of the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds. Take advantage of the Florida Resident Weekend Special, Saturday, April 4th and Sunday, April 5th, and get three shows for the price of one. Come Saturday, stay for the night air show with its amazing Star Dance Spectacular Drone Light Show, aerobatic flyers, plus a fireworks display. Then return Sunday for an additional show for free. Children under 10 are free, so make plans to bring the whole family and experience the past, present, and future of aviation at the Sun and Fun Aerospace Expo. Visit us at flysnf.org.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And by the way, you can listen to us at your leisure if you go to our website, which is ourfreedomworks.com. Ourfreedomworks.com. Big Ed has all our programs on podcast, and you'll know who the guest is and our top 10. Just click on the podcast button, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, do you think Mike Pence is going to be our vice president with Trump if Trump were to win again in 2020? Well, longtime CNN political analyst Paul Begala says that it's not the case. He predicts that Trump is going to dump Pence in favor of South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. He's going to dump her in July, when the Democrats are in Milwaukee. He says Trump will throw Pence, quote, under the bus because of his handling of the coronavirus. He says this is not a prediction. It's a certainty. He says on Thursday, July 16th, that is the date that the Democrats give his or her acceptance speech. And on that day, to interrupt the narrative, Trump is going to call a press conference in Mar-a-Lago, and he's going to dump Mike Pence for Nikki Haley. Wow. I think Mike Pence is doing a pretty good job. But apparently, according to Pagala, Trump is not happy with Pence in charge of the coronavirus. So that's going to be his strategy. Wow. Okay. Now, speaking of the coronavirus, World Health officials have confirmed the fatality rate now at 3.4% globally for the virus. It's possible that the Summer Games in Japan could be delayed. The head of the World Health Organization says the increase, which differed from the previously estimated global mortality rate of around 2%, he says, while many people globally have built up immunity to seasonal flu, this new virus, nobody has immunity to the coronavirus. He says that means more people are susceptible and some will suffer severe disease. He says globally, about 3.4% of the cases, about 3.4 have died. By comparison, seasonal flu kills fewer than 1% of the people that it strikes. So there are now over 90,000 cases of the coronavirus in 70 countries, or more than 70 countries, really. And we've got over 3,100 people dead from it. That's the number we know about. In China, I have a sneaking suspicion there is many, 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 many more dead there. Whether or not they want to tell us, or whether or not they even know. So I would say 3,100 is on the low side. The guy says, again, the guy that heads World Health, he says, it's not flu, it's not MERS, it's not SARS, it's a unique virus with unique characteristics. He says, with the flu, people who are infected but not yet sick, they're the major drivers of the transmission. But that does not appear to be the case for a coronavirus. Now, the number of coronavirus infections in Japan hit the 1,000 mark today. And 700 plus of those were on the Diamond Princess cruise ship. Wow. So there you go. Very scary. All right. Well, it is time for our top 10. We have a good one. And it has to do with the top 10 best housing markets in the next 10 years. Now, this is the National Association of Realtors that have decided, based on their statistics, where we are going to see people with the best housing values. So, without further ado, here we go. Top 10 best housing markets in the next decade. Number 10. Number 10, Fort Collins, Colorado. Have you ever been to Fort Collins, Ed?
I drove through it.
Okay. Well, the median home value there, pretty good. It's $393,000. So that's number 10. Number 9, Charleston, South Carolina. You move there, median home value is $319,000. And it's a lovely area to be in. Number 8. Hey, I know you've been here. Number 8 is Colorado Springs, Colorado. Mm. Wow. That's a nice area, isn't it, Ed?
Yep.
Well, the median home value in Colorado Springs currently $303,000. Number 7. Back to the Carolinas, Raleigh-Durham and Chapel Hill area, North Carolina. Median home value drops under $300,000. It's $281,800. About $282,000. Okay, number six. Las Vegas is a great place to be the next 10 years. Their median home value currently $274,000. Number five. Charlotte, North Carolina, back to the Carolinas. And the median home value there, $233,000. Number four. Ogden, Utah. Yeah, Ogden, Utah. Median home value, $231,600. Number three. Number three is Tampa, St. Pete. Right here. Yes, indeed. Third best. Median home value right now, $225,000. By the way, the median price of currently listed homes here, $315,000. And the median price of a house sold here, $236,500. Just thought you'd like to know that. So Tampa, St. Pete is number three. Number two, Dallas, Fort Worth. Dallas, Fort Worth. Median home value, $212,700. And the currently listed prices of homes there, $385,000. All right. Number one, who do you think, Ed?
Let's see. I'm going to go, I'm going to go to North Carolina somewhere.
Well, that's not a bad guess. Roll the drum. It's a shocker. Mm-mm. Columbus, Ohio.
Really?
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio. The median home value, $159,700. The median price of homes currently listed is $185,000. You know, these are pretty cheap.
Right.
And the median price of a home sold there, it's only $167,000. So it's a great place if you've got a budget and you want to buy a good house. Apparently, Columbus is the place to go. So those are the top 10 best housing markets. So there you go. Now, I want to make sure you stay tuned after the news for the craft beer hour. No. I never get a chance to talk.
No, actually, it's a golf show.
Oh, it's not the... Oh, you're right. Kenny is still... Kenny Bieber is still doing the show, though, right?
He's sitting right there.
Hey, Kenny, you're still doing the... All right, good. So we're going to have the golf show for Kenny. Well, you know, the golf show is a great show. I get a chance to listen to it, and they are very interesting people, and Kenny's a great guy. So stay tuned for the golf show with Kenny Bieber following the news. We'll be back on Friday, and always remember... Freedom Works.